this is a really strange gospel. As I talked with the children about zombies, like this is weird. I had such a hard time imagining the quirky story. I feel like the writer of the gospel was reincarnated as the writers of modern day zombie thrillers like Shaun of the Dead. We do not get raised from the dead, much less after 4 days of being in the tomb. Jesus foreshadows the miracle of the resurrection in this story. He brings Lazarus to life after he has died and been laid in the tomb. As Lazarus comes to life, so all will one day return and be with Christ. It may not be within our timetable, but it will bring glory to God. But before we get to this resurrection story, we need to unpack the beginning. Martha asked Jesus to come quickly since Lazarus is ill. But Jesus waits. Why? Jesus knew the outcome of the story. He waited because he knew Lazarus would die, but Jesus knew that he would resurrect Lazarus. It wasn't Jesus's lack of love that made him wait, nor was it a lack of love that led to Lazarus dying. God's glory does not cancel out God's love. When Jesus arrives, Martha openly laments, saying to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Death often brings anger, and this was Martha's anger coming to light. Far too often, medical professionals get the same blame. "If only you tried harder, my loved one would still be alive. You didn't do enough to save them. How could you stop rendering aid?" In our initial shock after death of a loved one, humans often look to a place to blame on others while not accepting the death itself. However, we can take a lesson from Martha, who, after lamenting, also said, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. I know that Lazarus will rise again." While Lazarus rose from the dead and walked among the living, as Jesus did too, we too will rise. I don't think we'll be zombies, but I think we'll rise again in the glory of heaven to rejoin all the saints who have gone before us. This story shows us the divine and humanity of Jesus. Jesus knew what was going to happen because of his divine nature. Yet seeing all those who mourn Lazarus, Jesus cried, showing his humanity. How many of you have said a prayer asking God for something, but you feel like you weren't heard or you were simply ignored? I sure have, many times. When I was preparing this sermon, the story of Lazarus made me think of the 1990 song Unanswered Prayers by Garth Brooks. Martha prayed for Jesus to come and save her brother, but was unanswered. In Unanswered Prayers, Garth Brooks sings the refrain, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, and just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." It's interesting to read the Gospels and find stories of when others go to Jesus to solve a problem. Martha went to Jesus to save Lazarus from dying. Mary went to Jesus at the wedding at Cana when the wine ran out. She didn't explicitly ask him to perform a miracle, but he knew what she was wanting. It was more wine. When Martha tells Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died," it is hard to tell if she is acknowledging her faith in Jesus and his power to heal, or if she was blaming him for ignoring his friend. Regardless of Martha's intention, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." This is one of the many great "I am" statements we find in the Gospel of John. Others being, "I am the bread of life," "I am the light of the world," "I am the good shepherd," I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus asked Martha, where have you laid him? And he went to Lazarus. Now, in a couple weeks, a different Mary will ask the same question about Jesus. Where have you laid him? Jesus was surrounded by the friends and family of Lazarus, and he wept. Everyone around probably assumed it was because the sorrow at the death of his friend. However, Jesus knew before going to Bethany that he would be raising Lazarus. He wept because around him was full of chaos, full of suffering he had come to destroy once and for all. Hope for resurrection had been displaced by the havoc of sin and death. Jesus was weeping for those who escorted him to the tomb where Lazarus laid. I think Jesus is weeping for us now in this present day. Jesus sees our chaos, our fear, the rising anxiety surrounding us as tensions rise all over the world. Jesus sees the parent who is worried about their child who is being deployed. Jesus sees the terror unfolding each night on the nightly news. Jesus sees lives destroyed by senseless conflicts, and Jesus weeps. Plain and simple, death sucks. But without death, there can be no resurrection. We must accept new life in Christ, but to do that, we must allow our old sinful ways to end. What do you need to let die so that you can come out of your tomb? Even little things like cleaning out the attic of old stuff you haven't used in at least a decade. Please do that so your kids don't have to do it. Or letting go of that ratty t-shirt from a concert in the 1980s of a band that literally has died. Or accepting there is a change in oneself that needs a medical diagnosis. Whatever is going on in your life, hear Jesus calling out to you, come out of there. Jesus is waiting for you, weeping for you to receive his unconditional love. Jesus offers us a new chance at life, a life that is abundant and filled with peace. That may sound scary, and it may be new territory for you, but you do not have to go it alone. Jesus walks beside us no matter how much we struggle, and we all have a community right here to walk alongside each other. When Lazarus stumbled out of the tomb, bound up, the community helped him get out of those grave clothes, supporting him and loving him. This is what community of faith is for, to help each other get unbound. We may not have all the answers, and we may feel helpless at times, but we have this hope. Christ has overcome death and sin and offers us new life in him. Amen.